All right, good afternoon, everyone. Kindly give your seatmate a warm handshake for a while and tell that seatmate of yours, I'm so glad I am here this afternoon. All right, so but who am I here glad that you are in church this evening? Come on. Okay, you know, this evening we are down to the second installment of our series called Truth Be Told. If you were not here last Sunday, we've embarked on this series. We're looking into the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ scattered all throughout the four accounts of his gospel. And this is going to run for 7 long weeks. So we're the second one, like what I told you last Sunday. This will run up until the end of November. We're going to have Pastor Dennis C. Victor Greenos to minister to us in one of the installments. Now, this afternoon, we're going to talk about the second one, which is the parable of the mustard seed. Okay, we're going to talk about seeds here this afternoon. And this is a very simple sermon for all of us. And I hope and pray that yet a lot of us will get encouraged by this one. But you know, for the benefit of those who happen to join us for the first time, allow me to just unpack this for a while. Whenever you say parable, the simplest definition of a parable is simply to put alongside. Okay? The full definition of what a parable might be like is something like this. A parable is, it is a story that teaches something new by putting the truth alongside something familiar. Right? So it's basically something like this. Jesus is a master storyteller. Right? Like, some of you here are teachers. Some of you here, your job is communication on a daily basis. And you folks know that when you communicate, you will have to have the ability to get the message across. Now, because Jesus is a preacher, is a rabbi, is a teacher, he would go from one place to another and he would start teaching and preaching. So definitely, he has his own styles whenever he wanted to deliver the message to his audience. And he would always use parables. In fact, if you read your Bibles in the four accounts, in the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you would see that there are different kinds of parables that he used. There are parables that you can find in the book of Matthew that you won't find in the book of Mark. There are parables that you will find in the book of Luke that you will not find in the book of John. So, meaning to say, he let out dozens and dozens of parables. If I'm not mistaken, there's around, I think, 40 of them. Okay, parables that were written down. Okay, iba pa yung mga hindi niya naisulat. So the presentation style of the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to parables is something like this one. Look at this. First and foremost, he would try to what? He would try to survey the place and he would look for something that is familiar to everyone. Okay, some of you know this already. He would get a picture. For example, he would ask everyone to fix their eyes on an olive tree. And then he would start talking about that picture. He would start talking about that olive tree. He would narrate stories about the olive tree. And then, as he starts progressing in his story, for some reason, the picture becomes a mirror. Meaning to say, his audience would feel like the picture that he's talking about is pertaining to themselves. That's why a lot of people get offended with the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because it starts to mirror their life. Now, sometimes when people walk away, they don't get to the next stage, which is the parable becomes a window, meaning to say that's actually an avenue for them to experience God's grace in their life. That's why it becomes a window for people to receive God's grace. If you remember last Sunday, we've talked about the first one, the parable of the sower. Who among you were with us last Sunday? Can I see a show of hands for a while? Okay, very good. Now, for those of you who are not here, we have it on the podcast. Okay, it would be good for you to listen to that when you go home later. Because basically, that preaching, to a certain degree, builds up to this one, okay? We said, in the last week, we were talking about the parable of the sower, meaning to say, there were four types of soil. You folks remember that? What type of soil are you? You are the? Come on now. By faith, you are the? You're the good soil, okay? You're the good soil. Your seatmate is the? The good soil rin. The good soil rin, okay? Kala ko, anong klaseng soil yung seatmate mo, di ba? By God's grace, and by faith, we are the good soil. And if you remember, what's odd with that story is, we feel like it's illogical for the sower to scatter the seeds everywhere. But we made a conclusion that it is because we worship an impartial God. He would sow and scatter the seeds regardless of the condition of the soil. Meaning to say, all of us here this afternoon, God is giving us the chance to respond as a good soil to the words that He's sowing in our lives. All right? Now, as we look into the next one here this afternoon, which is the parable of the sower, in the same way, I want us to understand that parables require honesty and humility in order to be embraced and understood. The reason why a lot of people would walk out whenever he would share parables is because they don't have a humble heart. And I don't know with you. To my knowledge, whenever I read my Bible, humility is important for you to be a recipient of God's grace. Right? So if you're here, you feel like you are a self-sufficient man in all aspects of your life, or maybe even in some aspects of your life, you will need to learn to humble yourself before God. Okay, for all of these things to take a root and grow in your lives, in your hearts, okay? I want us to turn our Bibles to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4, we're going to be reading just 3 verses here this afternoon. Now, I want you to listen carefully as we look into this. Look at this one. It says here, and he said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It's Jesus saying. And he said, it is like a grain of a mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Okay, you know, before we proceed, while I was working on this last night, I feel like I have to share 2 verses. You know, like what I told you a while ago, the parables of the Lord Jesus Christ are basically scattered in all the gospel accounts. And I realized there are 2 verses that I want to share with us here tonight that would ready our hearts to receive from God. And these verses are basically sandwiched in all of these parables. Okay, the first verse that I want to share with us is in Mark chapter 4, verse 24. It says here, consider carefully what you hear. He continued. Okay, that's what he said. He said, consider carefully what you hear. Meaning to say, it was like saying, what you hear on a daily basis matters, or it basically affects your spiritual life. The next verse here is in the book of Luke. It says here, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. So what Jesus is essentially saying is, we have to be careful when it comes to allowing whatever comes in us, and whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, we have to be careful in how to process it. My prayer is that we will be a group of people who will not just be dependent on a Sunday preaching. My prayer is that we will be a group of people who's going to process things that are being shared to us. So meaning to say, I hope and pray that by now, whatever it is that we've talked about last week, talking about the good soil and the bad soil and stuff like that, I hope and pray that when you got home last Sunday, you started processing that in your life. Because if you start processing that, you would get to understand, you'd get to assess your life, and you get to understand that, hey, I am a good soil when it comes to this aspect of my life, but I am a terrible soil when it comes to this one. Okay, because sometimes we are a good soil when it comes to worshiping God, but we are a terrible soil when it comes to purity and holiness. So it's always good for us to process things, okay, specifically the things that Jesus has shared to his disciples. And we are basically recipients of this as well. Okay, now, going back to the book of Mark, the parable of the mustard seed. Look at this one. I don't know with you if you've noticed this, but for 2 weeks now, including this Sunday, to a certain extent, you know, as a church, we have been a little more agriculturally and botanically inclined. You folks catch that? You know, we've talked about sowing last week, we've talked about farming, and now we're going to talk about a plant. We're going to talk about a seed. Okay, and you know, if you're like me, whenever things like that happen, I always get curious. And basically, because of that, I wanted to understand where Jesus was coming from. Like what I told you, you know, he would always get a picture from the things that are present around him, right? So meaning, I wanted to know as to why would he share about seeds, why he would share about sowing. It gives me a picture or a glimpse of the place that Jesus lived in. In fact, I have it here, and this gives us a context of the environment of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is basically like the topography of Israel. When you say topography, it includes everything. You know, it includes the landscape, the kind of soil, the fertility of the soil. And this is a fact right here. Look at this one. It says here, he lived most of his life in the lower Galilean area, which is what? The lushest region, known for its sunny temperate climate and its spring-watered lands. Can you imagine that? Spring-watered lands, right? Each spring, the valleys and slopes become an ocean of wildflowers and blossoming trees. Beginning in March, the area was covered by a vast blanket of green. Look at this one, the fertile land, okay? The fertile land was a texture of vineyards and fruit orchards, grapes, figs, olives, pomegranates, oranges, and other fruits flourished in its pleasant subtropical climate. Mommy, you love fruits. Okay? You know, one of our students here, Irij, is from Pakistan. The moment he got here in Dumaguete last June, he was so shocked at the price of the grapes here in Dumaguete, here in the Philippines. Like, what? Grapes is like 300 plus? Because in their place, you know, siguro yung grapes buy one, take one, or for free lang. Look at Israel. Look at the lower Galilean area of Israel. It says here, there's grape, you know, figs. Maraming baboy. Hindi sila naubusan ng lechon. Right? Figs. I've never seen a pomegranate. All right, pomegranate. Okay, whatever. Okay, I've never seen one. I don't know. There are different kinds of fruits that are not present in the Philippines. Apricot. Yung alam ko lang apricot, yung St. Ives. Yun lang alam ko. Yung mga ganun, ang dami dyan sa Israel. I mean, the place is just crazy rich when it comes to produce. In fact, this doesn't just even talk about Jesus' time or pertains to Jesus' time. If you look at Israel right now, you know, Israel is like the what? The fruit and vegetable basket of Europe, for that matter. Meaning, they're the ones bringing in the produce towards Europe. We have a student here. Her mom is working in Israel. And, you know, we would talk to her sister, and her sister would tell us about, you know, the different kinds of food or fruits that are present in Israel. So it's just a really rich place. And that explains why the examples of Jesus Christ are all of these fruits. You know, if Jesus would be living in Metro Manila or Cebu, we would be talking about the traffic. You know, the kingdom of God is like the smoke of the buses and stuff like that. It just makes you dark and stuff like that. But because, you know, that's the area where he used to walk and talk to his disciples, that's why he would get all of these things. Verse 30 here, look at this one. Let me just lay down something very important first. I want us to understand, if you would look at this, this gives us a picture right here that this parable, specifically this parable talks about the kingdom of God, right? This parable specifically talks about the kingdom of God. Why are we talking about this? Look at this one. Last week, you remember, we've talked about three things, right? The sower, the seed, and the soil. Okay, it talks about the seed being the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ. It also started talking about us being a good soil or a terrible soil. But this one right here, specifically, okay, this parable right here talks about the kingdom of God. So here's the biggest question. What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of God? Look at this one. In the New Testament context, okay, in the New Covenant context, the kingdom of God is what? The kingdom of God is the body of believers. All right? It's the community of believers. In short, when we talk about the kingdom of God, it is the church. When we talk about the kingdom of God, we're talking about the person beside you, believe it or not. I want to quote Tim Keller right here. He said, "The kingdom of God is the power of God in heaven, entering the world to heal every alienation and every brokenness in every dimensions of human life. Whether social, look at this one, social, economical, racial, emotional, physical, spiritual, psychological." You know what this tells us? It gives us a picture that because we are the kingdom of God, it has been delegated to us. Guess what? That's the reason why when you share the gospel, you are advancing His kingdom. I don't know with you, but I tell you what, I am forever thankful to God for me being a Christian now. I mean, on a given Sunday before I became a Christian, I can't even remember what I was doing. But I know for a fact, on a given Sunday, I will be in church, I enjoy the fellowship of the believers. Look what happens whenever the gospel is preached to you. Whenever the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is growing in your life. Look at this one. It affects what? The social, economical, racial, emotional, physical, spiritual, psychological, even the financial aspect of your life. That is how the kingdom of God permeates, okay, society. That is how the kingdom of God permeates a believer or a community for that matter. So I want to make sure that that is laid down neatly here this evening. Whenever we say the kingdom of God, we're talking about the church. We're talking about you and me here this evening, okay? Now, let me just go further now and start talking about the mustard seed. Okay, let's talk about the mustard seed because this is what he said in verse 31b and 32, the first part of 32. Here's what he said. The kingdom of God is like what? It is like the smallest of all the seeds, the mustard seed, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches. I'm going to show you a picture of a mustard seed right here. All right? Okay, that's how small a mustard... You guys familiar? Parang familiar ba? Familiar? Parang lahat tayo may nadukot na ganyan na noon. Minsan, mas malaki pa yung atin. Minsan, yung mga nagmamotor, mas familiar ka sa ganito, di ba minsan? Yung iba hindi lang gigat. Ah, paminta po, paminta. That is a mustard seed right there. I mean, you can just imagine how small that is. I don't understand. You know, culturally, we're not familiar with a mustard seed because the mustard that we are familiar with is this one. The mustard together with your mayonnaise and your bread, this is the mustard we're familiar with. But I want to tell you this. Look at this one. Just to give us a background in this. That mustard on your burger is actually derived from the mustard shrub. Right? Now, that's why, you know, we have to understand this because this is something that is not present in the Philippines. I'm not sure if my biology friends are here, but I'm not quite sure. Is there a mustard in the Philippines? I don't think so. Look at this one. If you're quite curious about this, Jesus said something like, the mustard seed is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. And some of you might think, some of you who are a good critic of the Bible, you would say, Jesus is actually wrong because the mustard seed is actually not the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Am I right? What's the smallest seed on the earth? What's the smallest seed? Sesame seed. Wow. Ibang level ang intellect ng Victory Dumaguete. Sesame seed. Nasa burger din, ano? No, I think the smallest of all the seeds are from the orchids. You know, Jesus is not making a scientific claim here. Take note, he was what? Surveying his surrounding. This is a parable. That's why he was making a hyperbolic statement. Okay, what is a hyperbolic statement? It is just an exaggeration. Okay? So he's just making a hyperbolic statement for that matter. Okay, take note, he was like looking at his surrounding. So what he was basically looking into was what? He was pertaining to a specific variety of a mustard shrub that can grow like a tree. See, this is like a botany class now. So I remember when I was in college, we had a botany class and our exam was really crazy. Our professor brought us outside of the classroom. He just asked us to bring a long bond paper and we walked all throughout the campus and she would just point at all the trees, all the plants and she would ask us to name the names and the scientific names. I tell you what, my goodness. Okay, it was pertaining to a specific mustard shrub. Now take note, look at this one, this is important. A mustard plant is not a tree, right? So it can grow like a tree. So it is a what? It is a shrub or it is a bush. You know what's the difference between a shrub and a tree? What's the difference between a shrub and a tree? A tree is bigger, okay? That's just basically it, okay? A tree is bigger, so what he was like saying is that this mustard seed right here has the potential, can everybody say potential? The mustard seed right here has the potential to grow like a tree and bring out large branches for that matter. That's why he was trying to drive a point here while he was sharing this parable. I want to talk about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to talk about two things, the small beginnings and the grand becomings. Let's talk about the small beginnings first. Okay, Mark chapter 4, verse 30. Look at this one. I like this. I mean, this is my favorite part in this parable. Look at this one. He said, with what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Take note of the word compare, right? Now, look at this one. What did we say a while ago? The kingdom of God is the kingdom of God is the church. Now, here's the catch. The catch is, at this time, the church wasn't present yet. There's no church yet at this time. So, meaning to say, his audience were what? His audience were his 12 disciples. So, what Jesus was essentially saying was like, he was looking at Matthew, he was looking at Peter. He was like saying, Peter, what can I compare you guys with? It's something like that. Okay, he was like basically asking a question, to what shall I compare you with? So because he was talking to his friends, I want you to catch this. He was talking to his disciples. He was looking at them. He was like, he wanted to ask them, to what shall I compare you with? Come here, you love receiving compliments. You love receiving compliments. Sometimes your friend comes up to you and tells you, you know what, bro, parang kamukha mo si John Lloyd. Nas naman. Di mga ganun bagay. Or sabi sa'yo ng friend mo, yung mga guys, di ba? Bro, grabe, nagpagupit ka lang, kamukha mo na si Derek. Now, what do we have here? Okay? Jesus was looking at them. This is the kingdom of God. At the moment, he was like asking them, to what shall I compare you with? Now, you know, this is a suspense part. Can you imagine? You love receiving compliment from your friend. Can you imagine receiving a compliment from the Lord Jesus Christ? Come on now. Right? Can you imagine receiving a compliment from the Lord Jesus? So here's what Jesus was doing. He was like, to what shall I compare you with? So he starts looking at his surroundings. He starts looking at the grass, the tall trees. And Peter was so excited. Oh man, he's going to compare us to the oak tree or to the fig tree. He was looking at the fig tree. He said, and Jesus started telling him, hey, you know what? You guys are like the mustard seed. And Peter was like, yes. Just imagine Jesus in our context right now. Jesus would like tell us, hey, you guys from Victory Dumaguete, murug mga liso. Right? I don't know. I'm not quite sure if that is encouraging for that matter. I'm not quite sure if that is encouraging for Peter, for Jesus to tell them, you guys are like a grain of a mustard seed. Hindi pa talaga tumpok na mustard seed. You're like a grain of a mustard seed, just like the grain that we saw a while ago. I'm gonna tell you what. You know what? Maybe they felt like they want to feel flattered, but you know, Jesus basically told them, you guys are like the mustard seed. If you're here and you have a band before, I mean, you were in a band before, or you love being in a band, di ba? You want to be in the band, di ba? When I was younger, when I was in high school, believe it or not, I loved listening to metal music, okay? So, oh, buti nga naging Christian ako eh, kasi alam mo yung mga music na crazy music, okay? So because I don't sing, okay, I don't play anything, okay? But what I did when I was in high school, I have one notebook. I would just try to list some good names for my future band. Nalala yung mga banda before, mga Pantera, mga Slayer, yung mga ganun klaseng. So ako gumagawa ko ng mga pangalan. Siyempre gusto ko magandang pangalan. Or maybe we're not talking about bands, maybe boy bands. Parang mga Backstreet Boys, Boyzone. Now imagine this with me for a while. Imagine the embarrassment and the humiliation when the 12 disciples would come in and people would call, hey guys, here comes the mustard seeds. Di ba, lumilipad-lipad pa yung buhok habang naglalakad. Huh? Mustard seeds. I was like, what? Lord, kahit man lang, Lord, mango seed, at least a little bigger. Mustard seeds. My goodness. Now look at this one. Here's what I want us to understand. That might not sound interesting for Jesus to call them a grain of a mustard seed collectively. Okay? But look at this one. I want you to use your mind right now. I want you to understand that the reason why we are here this afternoon is because these guys took this to heart. You know, Peter was a passionate man. I think that guy has some level of ego, right? Aren't you glad that they didn't walk out from Jesus Christ when Jesus started telling them that you guys are like a mustard seed? Sanya pambira naman, kala ko kingdom of God, mustard seed. But because of their faithfulness, because they paid attention, that's the reason why the gospel reached the shores of the Philippines. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the message for all of us here this afternoon. Do not despise the days of small beginnings. Do not despise the days of small beginnings. They started out 12 in the gospel account. When you look at the book of Acts, they started becoming thousands of people. Eventually, their very conquerors were Christianized. Rome became a Christian nation, all because it started with a mustard seed. I tell you what, you know what, the things that you're doing right now, if you're here and you are leading a victory group, you've been leading a victory group week in and week out, or maybe for some of you, you keep praying for your lost friends, your unbelieving friends, and you feel like it's not making any progress. Guess what? At the moment, it's not making any progress because it is still a seed. But it doesn't mean it's going to remain a seed because it will eventually grow. It will eventually grow for that matter. The task of the mustard seed was to what? To reach Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Allow me to give a quick rundown of the impact of the church in the course of history. You know what? If you're here and you are a skeptic, meaning you don't believe the Bible, you don't believe Christianity for that matter, I want to challenge you to look at Christianity in a historical narrative. Study history and you would come to understand as to why Christianity basically grew like this. let me just give a quick rundown of what happened with the 12 disciples, the mustard seeds for that matter. Guess what, friends? Every single prestigious universities in the world were basically planted by Christian people. The Constitution of USA has Christian principles in it. The abolition of slavery, which was a very big thing in the past, a lot of Christians basically were proponents of that. I don't know with you, but can you imagine the Philippines if we're not a Christian nation right now? Can you imagine what we would be doing right now? Haven't you realized that whenever the gospel is preached, for some reason, the dignity of that place is lifted up? People will argue, you know what, Christians, you guys are too old school, you guys are too primitive. I don't think so. Because to my knowledge, cannibalism to a certain degree is primitive. That is primitive. But whenever you introduce Christianity for some reason, things start to change. The dignity of women is elevated for that matter. That is what happens when we advance the kingdom of God. That is why we're dead serious about preaching the gospel. That is why I want to make you understand that for all of us here this evening, you, God has basically called you to preach the gospel to your friends. There is a story about an atheist anthropologist. He went into this one tribe in South America. And you know what? He wanted to study the tribe. He wanted to get to know them, get to know their culture. The thing was, the moment he got there, he realized something. There's a group of people who went ahead of him. Guess what? Where are those people? The Christians went ahead of him. So here he is. He feels like, my goodness, my studying of their culture is now jeopardized because the Christians came before me. So many say the Christians started preaching the gospel. You know what he did? When the Christians left, he started talking to the tribal leader. He told the tribal leader, you know what? You don't have to believe the Christians. You know what? Christianity is only for them, white people, but not good for you. He started telling them, you have to go back to your own culture, to your old ways, and stuff like that. The way you do your rituals, because it is something that makes your culture unique. If that is the case, the tribe leader told him, Mister, if that is the case, if you want us to go back to our old ways, then you will have to be the first on the cooking pot. When we advance the kingdom of God, culture starts to change. It permeates every single, you know, present worldview, culture that is present in a certain society. I don't know with you, but whenever you read your Bible, you would come to understand that God loves to start a work with a few people. You guys remember Gideon? The army of Gideon? The story basically says he had what? I think he had around 22,000 soldiers to attack the Midianites. You know what God told him? God told him, Gideon, there's too many of you. What? There's too many of us, Lord? So what Gideon did was that he tried cutting it in almost a half. So he brought in 12,000 people. God told him, hey, there's still too many of you. Until such a time wherein the 22,000 was just reduced to what? 300 men. 300 men. This is what God said, Judges chapter 7, verse 2. The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand. Lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. God loves to start a work with a select few. Remember, he started working for the salvation of the Israelite people from Egypt with what? With a stuttering guy. A guy who stutters. A guy who trembles before Pharaoh, for that matter. And we're talking about Moses himself. That's why I'm telling you here right now, you know what? For those of you, you've been a Christian for quite some time now, God is working something in your life. All you have to do is open yourself up for his work in your life. Don't you ever think that just because you are a young Christian now that God will not use you like the rest of the guys who are here on this stage. My leader before would keep telling me that, you know, as a Christian, it can take you 5 years just to grow 1 year, or you can grow 5 years in just 1 year. It all depends on how you want God to use you for that matter. Do not despise the days of small beginnings. You might be here and you feel like you are the smallest of all the seeds Just like the 12 disciples, the smallest of all the seeds to which Jesus compared them with. But it doesn't really matter. Like what I told you a while ago, you're not gonna remain a seed. Tell the person beside you for a while, you're not gonna remain a seed. Inevitably, you will bear fruit for that matter. As long as you don't walk away from the faith. As long as you do your part as well to become a good soil for that matter. I like what John MacArthur said. He said, all music, all symphonies, concertos, oratorios, hymns, songs, all music comes basically from 8 notes. And then we have all of this beautiful music. All the profound words that have ever been uttered or written in the English language come from 26 letters, small beginnings, profound, extensive results. I want you to understand this. God is basically asking you if he could basically use you. And he will use you if you would allow yourself to be used by God. Allow me to share some few stories here since this is talking about the church. Since we're talking about the kingdom of God and the church, I want to show you a picture, maybe a brief history of this local church right here. Okay, this man's name is Don Perez. Paiglas-aiglas pa. In 1996, when he was 23, 24 years old, okay, some of you were not born yet in 1996, right? He went here coming from a youth camp in Bacolod. Came here with his backpack, single guy coming over, and the moment he got here in Dumaguete, he realized, man, there's just so many students here. I mean, there's a lot of students here. Remember, you were a student in 1996. You were a college student in 1996. Anyone? You were in college in 1996? I don't intend to embarrass you. I just want to know. Okay, anyone? All right, there they are, okay? Palapakan natin sina ate at kuya. Look at this one. Do not despise the days of small beginnings. Start with something small. He feels like God birthed something in his heart, okay, regarding the students in the city. So that was in 1996. In the year 2000, to be specific, May 2001, they came back with a team, together with his wife now, because he was now married. He came back and basically what? Planted Victory Dumaguete. And this is basically what it is now. So whenever you get to meet this guy, please thank him. Look for him on Facebook. His name is Don Perez. Okay, all together tonight, just message him. Sabay-sabay tayo. Ha? Para magulo siya, ano nangyari? Sabay-sabay, message nyo lang. Don Perez, sir, maraming salamat po. He's a pastor right now in our congregation in Metro East. I want to show you some pictures. This is him. In our first few meetings, this was in Harold Mansion. This was in Harold's mansion. And look at this guy. Well, you love it when you're at Kiko, Kat Sabayano would lead worship here. Right? I mean, these guys are just fantastic worship leaders. Before we had these guys, you know, Aria, before we had them, we had a worship leader and he happens to be the pastor as well. So he would come up on every single service. He would lead worship. After that, while leading worship, he would what? He was the one who would flip the Manila paper for the lyrics. After flipping that, after worship time, he's the one who's going to welcome everyone. He's the MC. Welcome to Victory Dumaguete, everyone. We are a church, blah, blah, blah. After that, he would exhort everyone for tithes and offering. Okay, he would exhort everyone for tithes and offering. After that, he's going to start preaching the word. Okay, one-man army for that matter. And this place was in the small room in Harold's mansion that can seat 20 people. Okay, it can seat 20 people. And true enough, God is faithful, started adding people. They started with 5. Okay, one of those 5 right now is the wife of our pastor in Pakistan. In fact, after preaching in our 10 a.m. service, someone went up to me. I don't know the person. Told me, hey, you know what? My name is like this. I used to be part of those days right there. Sabi ko sa niya, nako ate, sorry, I didn't know. So we got to know each other. He started telling me names, and I could remember the names that she was mentioning. I think that's Therese right there. Giselle, when did you came in? Okay. The next picture here is they rented an apartment. This is what our Tagbilaran church is doing right now. Rented an apartment, and that's where people would gather for Victory Weekend. Stuff like that. Oh, you're done with Victory Weekend. Come on now. You're done with Victory Weekend. All right, that's where they had their Victory Weekend. Still him doing everything. The next picture, I'm not quite sure if you're familiar with this one. This is one of our Victory Weekends as well. You guys are familiar with anyone? You know what? Our pastor in Tagbilaran right now, JD, is somewhere there. Okay. You see that guy with the long hair? Okay, that's JD right there with the long hair, all right? And the other guy, is that Vince? Yeah, Vince right now is our pastor in Dapitan. Okay, in Dapitan City, all right? Some of them, a lot of them are in Manila. Some of them are outside the Philippines. Miggy's in Cagayan de Oro. I mean, they're just everywhere in the world right now. Guess what? A lot of you, you guys won't be here 5 years from now. Okay, I'm not saying that you're going to backslide. What I'm saying is that you're going to be a blessing somewhere in the world. That's why I want you to understand whatever it is that God has planted in your heart right now, it is basically also your responsibility to make it grow. Okay? To make sure that you are a good soil, because at the end of the day, God will make things grow for that matter. The next picture is my favorite picture right here, simply because I'm there. Okay? Diba? Ang tawag po dyan, katawan ng mustard seed. The guy on your right, okay, that's the one who shared one-to-one with me. That's the one who discipled me. His name is William. Right now, he is our pastor in Every Nation Riyadh, okay? Working as well as a tent maker. So, I think when he came here, he was 23 years old, or 24. So, I'm catching up with the double chin. But anyway, the guy seated right beside him is my brother-in-law, okay? Who used to be my best friend. That's what you call strategy, okay? So, he used to be my best friend. Of course, now I can call him my best friend because he's now my brother-in-law, so I call him bro. Okay. But anyway, he's a doctor. He's a doctor in Riyadh as well. The reason why this is special to me is because these three guys were instrumental to my growth personally. The other guy is Dwight. He was the one who invited me to church. Okay, he's from the College of Engineering. Some of you are engineers here. He used to be part of an elite engineering group called Vortex, okay, with a Korean professor. I don't know what they're doing. But anyway, of course, that's the most handsome person in the world. That's me right there. But, you know, the reason why I want to share this, the truth is, guess what? I actually cropped this. This picture was taken in Aliu Theater. This is our first conference. The conference was called Campus Harvest. At that moment, there were, like, I think 3,000 students gathered in one place. Okay, in our last Ignite, I think there were 10,000 students, 12,000 students gathered. That conference was something that was really had a huge impact in my life. Look at this one. If you're here and you are a student, do not miss out on opportunities for you to grow. I'm not just talking to students. You're a single professional, you're a parent. Do not miss out. If you feel like the moment you get here to this place or the moment you buy this, you're going to grow, by all means, go ahead and do that. Our pastor would always tell us to invest in our spiritual life. That's why even as a student, we would invest on expensive Bibles for them because Bibles are expensive. Okay, a good Bible would cost you around 2,000 pesos, 1,800. It's because the paper is special. Okay, so even if you're like, man, I'm going to have a hard time paying for this, but we would still invest on that one. Because at the end of the day, we're the ones who's going to benefit from this. This is in Aliu Theater for Campus Harvest. But you know what? The reason why this picture, I want to be honest with you, this picture is very special. You know why? Because this is a cropped one, okay? That's the reason why. Next naman. Diba? Nakikita nyo ba yung heart? Sa pagitan ng dalawa? That's Rian, my wife. Parang nautal ako ng konti. No, there were a lot of us. The ladies were seated in the front. So, I don't know. I saw this picture last night. Sayo ko, magkatabi tayo. No? Sayo ko. Ibang klase talaga. Let me talk about the second one, the grand becoming. Okay? Mark chapter 4, verse 32. Look at this one. This is your destiny. Tell the person beside you farewell. This is your destiny. Okay, look at this. When it is sown, it grows up and becomes, look at this, larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches. You know what? If you're here this afternoon and you are a startup, guess what? God would increase your influence. You have to be faithful. All you have to do is be faithful to the calling that God has placed for you. Okay, if you're new in the faith, God is going to grow every single seed that was planted in your heart, for that matter. At the end of the day, it's not a question of whether you're going to grow or not. You will grow. You will grow as long as you remain rooted. As long as, you know, Jesus remains to be your vine, for that matter. I want to end this with the next part of verse 32. It says here, if you grow, Bible says, birds of the air can make nest in its shade. Now, if you read this verse plainly, I want you to look at this, that we're going to end with another story, then we're going to pray. If you look at this plainly, you would come to think, man, okay, if I grow, then I become a good minister to a lot of people. That's what it says, plainly. Birds of the air can make nest in its shade. Meaning say, as you grow, God will bring in people under your care. But guess what? Look at this one. Truth of the matter is, if you study this verse, here are things that you will observe. This story was shared on the same day as the parable of the sower. If you remember, in the parable of the sower, there were seeds scattered on the ground, the trampled upon ground. The Bible says what? Come on now. The birds of the air came and devoured the seeds. And it started, Jesus started explaining it. He said, the birds there basically are what? The birds there is basically the devil himself. If you look at the New Testament talks about a sparrow, which is something of good value. But in this case, when it starts talking about birds, it's not quite good for that matter. So it gives us a picture. As you grow, this one, as you grow, can I ever say grow? As you grow, the Bible says, you will become what? You will become attractional. You will attract what? Good ones. You will also attract the opposition of the enemy. The reason why, you know, ministries that are growing encounter so many opposition is because the devil himself would try to nest in that place and would try to what? Sow discord, sow division in the church. You remember the All and Nothing series? Remember what happened to the Colossian church? Started out well, but there are people who came in, birds who basically what? Who took nest in the church as well. And they started what? Polluting the minds of the people. That's why it is important for you to learn how to take care of the good deposits that God has placed in your life. Just because someone would tell you this, you don't have to believe those things. Another thing is this one. If you're here this afternoon and you feel like, you know, sometimes it's so itchy to gossip about someone in the church, I would suggest that you forego doing that. You just don't do that because you're basically allowing yourselves to be used not by God, but by the devil to cause division and strife. You know, sometimes it's just better for us to shut up, right? And just wait God to vindicate you if someone has offended you, for that matter. And that is basically the story of the parable of the mustard seed. I want to end this with a story of how powerful the church is. You folks believe that the church is powerful, amen? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the only solution to every problems in this world. The truth is, a lot of our problems is because we are gospel deficient. Now listen, I want to show you a picture of this guy. His name is Rolando Del Torcio. Now, he made the headlines last year. Some of you know the story of this guy. Simply because he was abducted. He was kidnapped by no less than the Abu Sayyaf. I think you're not a Filipino if you don't know who Abu Sayyaf is. Right? And Abu Sayyaf could be the most dreaded, you know, group of people in the Philippines. He was abducted, kidnapped for ransom in his own restaurant. And it was a big news in their place. He was in TV patrol because there was a CCTV footage. And July this year, the leader of the group of the Abu Sayyaf that abducted him was captured by the police. Okay, here he is. This is his picture right here. His name is Commander Red Eye. I mean, feared person, feared man for that matter. And someone came up to me and told me the story of this. Hey, this is what happened to this businessman, and this is the picture of the guy, of the leader. Sorry, still a suspect, panaman. Okay? Of the leader of the Abu Sayyaf that led the abduction or the kidnapping of Rolando Del Torcio. Now, why am I sharing all of this? I'm sharing this for one very simple reason. I cannot drop names here this afternoon, but look at this one. A couple of years ago, there was, you know, for some reason, there was one student, just like many of your seatmates right now, who was invited to church here in Victory Dubagat, in our former center. You know, started liking the music, started liking the preaching of the word. Guess what? Eventually, the person was discipled. Eventually became one of our kids' church teachers. Not just that. After that, brought in her siblings. One sibling got saved, discipled, advancing God's kingdom. Another sibling was invited, was discipled, got saved. After we started talking to these people, we learned their story. To cut the long story short, this right here is their uncle. This is their uncle right here. So I want you to understand this. we have a group of people whose background is Islam. They were Muslims who were discipled here right now, at this very moment. Their mother is a victory group leader. Their mom is leading a victory group. Who knows what the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ will do in the life of this man, in the lives of every single member of his group, and what God is going to do in their city, in this nation, and every single thing that's going to have a cause and effect simply because one person was discipled. This is the power of the kingdom of God. You'll never know the person that God is going to bring in your life for you to disciple them. A lot of you here, I wish to make us understand that you have to be thankful for every single person who invested in your life. You know, every single day, try to answer questions like where, when, where did I get saved? How did I get saved? Who invited me to church? Thank these people. Your gratitude to them all the more will propel them to do what God has called them to do. Amen.